Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. We'll go behind the headlines of one of the week's big stories, that is the future of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, now that Aetna, a major insurance company, is pulling back in both Missouri and Illinois. Others may follow. Proposed mergers may also have an impact. Aetna is the biggest insurer in the Missouri health insurance market. To help us understand the headlines and what's behind them, we have two experts. Sydney Watson is an attorney and professor at St. Louis University's Health Law Policy Center. Tim Greeney is a law professor and co-director at the Center for Health Law Studies at SLU. Thanks both for being with us. Nice to have you. Sydney, let me begin with you. This is really a big deal, this Aetna thing, isn't it?
Sure, it's a big deal. They have announced that they are pulling out of the marketplaces. They will still be selling, though, in the individual market for people who do not use the marketplace. So part of the big deal is that here in Missouri, 90% of the people who purchase plans on the marketplace get help. It's a place where moderate and low-income folks can find affordable health care, and Aetna has made a decision to pull out of that marketplace.
What are the implications, then, for individual customers?
On the marketplace,
yeah.
There will be other choices. Right now, there will be two choices, Cigna and Anthem. And in the St. Louis area, Cigna has been selling the least expensive plans, at least in 2016. They came in and kind of shuffled things up.
Right.
So we'll be looking to see what the prices are and the plan premiums are for Cigna and for those Anthem plans.
It's been pretty much anticipated, as I understand it, that premiums are more likely than not to go up.
Yes. One of the good news around the Affordable Care Act is since it was passed, we have seen premium increases really slow down in the individual marketplace, and we were pleasantly surprised about the initial premiums on the marketplace. It looks like there may be higher increases this year. Again, though, for 90% of the people who purchase on the marketplace, their premiums are not sticker premiums. Mm. They pay a percentage of their income. And for those people, if they go into the marketplace and shop, if they can find another plan, they may not see any increase.
Right. I know one of your purposes here today is to reassure people out there that things are okay.
Well, one thing I want to reassure people about is Aetna sells under the name Coventry here.
Yeah.
And if right now you've bought a marketplace plan with Coventry, that plan stays in effect until the end of the year. Nothing's going to change there. Open enrollment will start November 1 for the marketplace, and it's really important for those people to shop, to see what else is out there, to see what plans cover their doctors. And I would really urge them to see one of the application counselors we have who provide free assistance. And I've got those websites that you can put up for your listeners.
And we will certainly do that at stlpublicradio.org. Tim, let me turn to you with regard to the part of the story that focuses on a merger, a proposed merger between Aetna and Humana. The Justice Department is taking a close look at this. Do you have the sense that this in any way precipitated Aetna's pullback?
Well, it's a very interesting story. The background is last month, the Justice Department sued in federal court to stop the Aetna-Humana merger. It also brought suit to stop the Anthem-Cigna merger. What we have is four of the largest five insurance companies contemplating mergers. Justice has gone to federal court and asked the judge to stop them. That's a very big development, and it will play out in federal court. Now, what happened was shortly before Justice filed the suit, the CEO of Aetna, Bertinelli, sent a letter to Justice saying that it would have to leave the exchange markets if Justice went ahead and sued them on the overall merger, which is largely focused on different markets. Some regarded that, including Senator Elizabeth Warren, as something of a threat or blackmail. It said, you know, we're putting some chips on the table. That connection has been made. Aetna's explanation is that it needs the cost savings it will achieve through this gigantic merger, and it is a gigantic merger, in order to finance the losses it's sustaining in the exchanges. But many people question that, but that's a rationale that's been given.
The losses, Sydney, are considerable. Aetna has lost a lot of money in this deal, hasn't it?
They're telling us that they've lost money. One of the things that the Affordable Care Act set up were some subsidies for health insurers who enrolled large numbers of sick people, which was supposed to cushion some of these losses that the large insurers are claiming. And it may be that one of the tweaks we need with the Affordable Care Act is to make sure that those insurance company subsidies work correctly. It's regrettable, though, that Aetna has acted precipitously and pulled out of the exchange rather than letting us have that policy conversation.
Tim, what is the Justice Department's rationale for opposing the merger?
Well, you know, the bottom line is that concentration, too few competitors, really makes a difference. And there's a mountain of economic evidence that shows when you get fewer competitors in the insurance business or in the hospital business, prices go up. And when those prices go up, premiums go up. So as we find markets going from 4 to 3 insurers, 3 to 2, even 2 to 1, prices go up. And that's as true in the exchanges as it is in other markets. So what Justice is doing is trying to draw a line and say you can't merge in markets where there are too few competitors. Now, what we're going to be left with in Missouri is going to be an increasing concentration as a result of Aetna's withdrawal and the mergers. So the numbers are these: 83% of Missouri's 114 counties will be left with only one carrier on the exchange. Samantha Liss of the Post-Dispatch is doing some very good reporting on this. And no county in Missouri will have the option to choose even among 3 competitors. And again, the bottom line here is, as the number of competitors shrink, prices go up. So Justice has been trying to stop that. Now, one of the unfortunate ironies that Sydney just mentioned, she said, well, we'll be left with Anthem and Cigna here in St. Louis. Well, they're merging.
I just wanted to get to that.
So Justice is, I think, has a very strong case in both cases. I think they have specified St. Louis as one of the markets they've focused on with respect to the exchanges. So it certainly is very likely. I think they'll succeed on that. And whether they require that they spin off one of those plans to someone else, that's a problem in its own right. Sometimes antitrust cases get resolved by spinoffs, and those are problematic in some regards.
Is there any chance that these huge insurance companies could back down the Department of Justice?
Well, there's so much going on. It's really a poker game at this point because it's in front of a federal court. So a federal judge will get to decide it. The parties will offer consent decree relief. They'll offer to spin off assets and to come up with some kind of relief. But I think Justice is going to play hard on this one because there's so much at stake. It's not only the exchange markets, it's the regular commercial markets that are affected by concentration, the market for Medicare Advantage. There are different insurance segments, but the same truth holds that in each one, as you get fewer competitors, prices go up and we wind up paying higher premiums. And that's what antitrust is all about. So I think they're going to stick to their guns. But, you know, you never know what a court's going to decide.
Sydney, I want to be sure that I understand this. What are the chances or what is the potential for other carriers to come into this market?
I don't see that happening for 2016. The carriers have already filed their plans and their rates for the upcoming year. They'll be posted for everyone to see in mid-October, but I don't see anyone new coming in at this point.
Good. I have a tweet question here that I'll put out right now. Freddie writes, I still can't afford ACA health insurance, Affordable Care Act health insurance, in Missouri as an independent 24-year-old working 3 part-time jobs. So what if Aetna drops?
Well, there's a couple of ways to answer that. I think there are a number of tweaks and improvements we could make in the Affordable Care Act, and certainly one of them that almost everyone has identified is that the subsidies that make insurance affordable on the exchange for people like Freddie need to be larger, more generous than they are. It also may be that Freddie's having problems because he may fall into that Medicaid coverage gap, that if Missouri had expanded Medicaid, he could get affordable coverage that way. And that we've got to work on.
Well, and the legislature has been working on that for a couple of years, but working
or
on
or it. Or maybe not working.
I was going to say, but maybe not not doing all that it should or most people would like. So can this damage, if I can be put it that way, be repaired without Congress getting involved?
Again, I have to say from an individual consumer's viewpoint who has bought a marketplace plan this year and who is willing to go back and shop, 90% of those folks here in Missouri have premium tax credits that is going to help them with those premiums. They will have to pay a percentage of their income. So if the premium goes up, they don't necessarily feel it. Uh-huh. We feel it as a public. So this is a real challenge for us as taxpayers, for the federal government in terms of financing this. But for individuals purchasing on the marketplace who get tax credits to help them, they are unlikely to feel an immediate effect. Their challenge is going to be finding a plan that has a good network, that covers their doctors, avoiding disruption and coverage that way, because they are going to need to go and look for a different plan.
Are those navigators still out there that were there at the beginning to help?
They are not only out there, they are preparing right now to talk to people about this. They are getting online to help people who had those Coventry plans who are going to need to go elsewhere.
Tim? Don, you asked whether the problems can be at least ameliorated short of legislation. And it will be tough, but there are some things that can be done. The big problem, I think, with respect to the exchanges is having a pool of healthy people side by side with the sick people. And things didn't work out as hoped for, not only by Congress, but by the insurers themselves. Nobody knew what the mix was going to be. And to some extent, maybe things will change because some of the young invincibles, as they call them, the young healthy people, will be coming into the exchange as penalties start to take a bite. And some other things may happen. But there's some irony here because one of the expectations was that employers would drop their insurance plans, many would, and those healthy people would come into the exchanges. Well, it turned out that costs were coming down and employers didn't feel the need. The ACA was working to that effect. So the healthier people didn't populate the pools as much. So there's some up and down, and the mix is also affected by various other things. Some people think some of the insurers came in with lowball pricing to begin with, and now they have to raise their rates. So there's a complex set of adjustments. A few regulatory tweaks can happen, but you know, several very prominent think tanks have put out agendas for reform that would require some legislation. But you would think Republicans would at least endorse the ones that improve the market. So there are some of those proposals out there, and maybe in a new administration there's room for some compromise.
Sydney, as Tim had indicated, part of the problem is that the younger people, basically millennials, are opting to pay the penalty rather than buy insurance. What is that penalty? That's a tax penalty, correct?
It's a tax penalty. It depends upon your income. It's a percentage of your income. And we've seen some young people willing to pay that rather than go into the market. And one of the things that healthcare.gov and the Obama administration is doing is reaching out to those people and trying to bring them into the marketplace. That's always been the sweet spot. If we can get folks willing to contribute while they're young and healthy, we have more premium dollars to help cover the sicker people who have been the ones who have signed up. So reaching out to those people and convincing them that there is value for them in having health insurance is a critical step going forward.
Of course, we've been at this for a couple of years now, and that hasn't happened. What's wrong? Is the sales pitch a bad one?
I don't think we ever expected it to work in just 2 years. Most of the timelines were over 5 or 10 years. This is an ongoing conversation we have to have, understanding the marketplaces. This is a bump in the road. with Aetna, and there'll be other bumps in the road, but we have to keep at it. What we do have is the lowest uninsured rate we have seen in decades. We're at 10% now nationally.
How many people are covered under Obamacare?
Nationally, it's in the millions. Here in Missouri, we've got over 290,000 people enrolled in Marketplace plans.
And we could have a lot more than that if a couple of pieces fell into place.
Absolutely. Right.
And, you know, we should not lose sight of the fact that Obamacare has also had some important effects on promoting health. People are healthier as a result of having insurance coverage. So there are a lot, and states are saving a lot of money, as it turns out, too. So there are a lot of under-the-radar effects that aren't being appreciated.
Yeah. Have time for another call or two. Let's bring in Merle, calling from Granite City. Merle, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Yes, I have a quick comment, and I'll be glad to take my reply off air. Long story short, everyone who's picked up insurance from HCH hasn't had insurance for a decade or more. So a lot of these companies that are bailing out of the exchange are doing so very short-sighted, because once these people, as your previous guest mentioned, once they start getting medicine, once they start getting treatment, the overall cost will go down. But the stockholders and the business that is healthcare, which it should never be to begin with, doesn't want to wait a week, a year, 5 years to see those returns.
All right, Merle, thank you. You're both nodding.
That's a great point. In fact, I was just reading an article today that said, you know, it's really the decades of neglect. These people haven't had insurance for many years, and it's not surprising there's a bump in utilization and all of that for the time being. So some things will smooth themselves out.
As Tim said, this is a poker game that's going on between Aetna and the Justice Department over the merger, and it's really a shame that people who need health insurance have become a pawn in that poker game.
Don, if I can throw in a brief commercial, at St. Louis U Law School, we're going to be putting on a conference in April covering the issue of market concentration and its adverse effects on consumers and prices, and we're going to bring in several national experts. We're also going to try to focus on the St. Louis area and see how concentration has affected consumers here.
We'll put information to that effect on our website as well. Time for one more quick call. Ron joins us from St. Louis. Ron, you're on the air, but it'll have to be quick, please.
Yes, I agree with that last call. And I also want to say the health care could go down 20-30% in a year if people would just kind of start losing weight, exercising, getting better habits, and stop eating. When people get free health insurance, they really have no incentive to change their habits, where people who have to pay for it, they modify, maybe they already had good habits, but they reinforce them because it costs them money.
Ron, thanks for the call. I'd like to address that in any sense? Okay. Ron, thank you for bringing that point up. I guess the question that remains is, people are wondering if this is the beginning of the end of Obamacare. The election is going to play a big role. If it remains a Republican Congress, you would think that not much is going to be done to make any changes, positive changes anyway.
Well, I think you have two questions there, Don, whether this action by Aetna is the end of Obamacare, and I think clearly it's not. It's yet another challenge, and there are a number of ways it can be dealt with. The other part of your question is, you know, what happens with the presidential election? There is an existential threat to Obamacare. If we have a Republican president and a Republican Congress, we will see the repeal of the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm. And Don, let me mention, there are a lot of exchanges that are functioning very well and doing exactly what was hoped for.
Overall, Sydney, and we have to be quick about this, it's been working pretty well.
It's been working better than anyone expected. As we said, we've covered millions of people. We brought down, slowed the cost of medical increases. We have increased the number of jobs in states that have expanded Medicaid. We see it making their hospitals stronger. It's working well.
In only 30 seconds, what happens if Obamacare is scuttled to the people who are signed up right now?
Well, one thing you got to remember is there's a lot more to Obamacare than the exchanges. It's vastly changed how we pay for Medicare and hence all the payment systems. So it's done a massive job on that part. I don't know how you can undo those changes even if you repeal the law. But there's much that's underway that no one would want undone, regardless of your political affiliation.
Cindy, a quick thought on that?
If they did dismantle the exchanges, those 290,000 Missourians who have health insurance now would be back on their own and with the groups of uninsured.
All right. Well, I want to thank you both, Sydney Watson, for being with us. Tim Greeny, thank you so much for bringing us up to speed on this. It's a very important story, obviously. Thank you for being with us. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.